As the election heat builds up, is there time to reflect and actually debate democracy? Well, that's what Congress veteran, who's been an advisor to Rajiv Gandhi, also the father of the telecom revolution in India, wants us to do. I'm Barkhadat, you're with the Mojo Story. In a moment from now, we'll be speaking with Sam Pitroda, who's just authored a new book on the idea of democracy. That's, in fact, the title of the book. Mr. Pitroda, who, as I mentioned, has had a long relationship with India, but is now based out of the United States of America, he's also the chairman of the Overseas Congress, is seen to be somebody who's really contributed and, in a sense, fathered the telecom revolution of India. He's been a close associate of Rahul Gandhi, and he's often made comments that the Congress party has later disassociated themselves from. But Pitroda continues to speak his mind, and he's just published a new book called The Idea of Democracy, where he's urging us to look at what he calls the seeming paradox of the success of democracy, but the decline of liberalism. Now, is this democracy debate a trope that has any resonance with people at large, or is it an esoteric academic construct that is the subject of what some might call the old elites? Let's find out by introducing our newsmaker, author, Congress veteran, former advisor to the central government, to the program. Sam Pitroda joins us today from Chicago. And as he writes in his book, he is now, in a sense, witness to elections in both the world's largest and oldest democracies. It's an election year for both the USA and India. So, Sam, let me start by asking you, why this book?
Barkha, thank you very much. It's good to be with you. As you know, in 2024, like your title says, election 2024, 64 countries in the world are going to elections. More than half of the world's population would be voting this year. It's a very special year. In some countries, elections are held after 4 years, in some countries after 5 years. But in 2024, largest number of countries go to election. In many of these countries, democracy has seen some decline. I spend a lot of time in Mexico. I spend time in Europe. And I can tell you that everywhere there is a rise of populism, there is polarized politics. In America, it is Black Lives Matter. In India, it is caste, religion. So looking at 2024, I thought this is a good year to reflect on democracy. Hence, the book is written not just for India, but also for US, Mexico. It is being translated into Spanish right now. So I think this is an important year.
Now, I'm glad that you've actually made it a global conversation, because one of the things that tends to irritate a lot of Indians, irrespective of political affiliations, is how the West sometimes patronizes India about democratic standards. Now, you've seen the debate around some of these global rankings. It's been pointed out by many Indians who study this, that, for example, VDEM ranked India, you know, below Kosovo, for instance, right? So it doesn't actually make sense, below Niger, Kosovo. So in some ways, we have to be careful about this democracy debate. And to that extent, it's important that you make it a global conversation, because otherwise it's been the West sitting in judgment and applying standards that Indians don't quite agree with.
Yeah, I think these rankings are more like ranking of the business schools. You know, so I don't put a lot of emphasis on ranking. I mean, you can rank between five or six here and there, it really don't make any difference. And also it depends on what are your parameters with which you are ranking. So that's not the issue. Issue is much larger, according to me. And that is that democracy is not just about elections. Democracy is more about institutional independence. Democracy is more about open, broad, fair, free conversation. Democracy is about taking people into confidence. Democracy is about creating an environment of inclusion for everybody, so you don't isolate a small group of people. Look what's going on in Israel. Okay. Mm. I mean, they think they have a democracy, but look at how people from Gaza are treated. Okay. I mean, you can see how, you know, blacks in America feel. You can see how, you know, immigrants in many countries feel. So I think this is a wake-up call for everybody. And that's why I think 2024 is an important year where people will have to decide what kind of a world we want to build. Do we want...
You said, and that's the hub of the debate, right? Democracy is not just about elections. It's about institutional independence.
And a lot more, not just institutional independence. It is also about civil society. It is also about free media. It is also about consultation. It is also about decentralization. It's about lots of things.
Yes, but the truth is that if you ask, for example, most voters in India, I'll talk about India because I know India the best of all the countries you're talking about. A recent CSDS survey, when people were asked an open-ended question, right? What is the most important issue to you right now? Most people said unemployment, price rise, down the rank was, you know,
issues. Fair. I think it is
now,
fair.
Now, nobody said democracy bachao is an issue. This is seen by many voters to be something they don't understand because they identify or they understand democracy through the prism of their vote, right? And the exercise of their rights as enshrined in the Constitution. So why is it that people like yourselves, even others in the opposition, they talk so much about democracy, but the average voter doesn't relate to that conversation?
I agree with you that average voter only worries about jobs, economy, inflation, and they should. But I think somebody has to also look at larger picture and say, in democracy, there is peace. If there is peace, there is prosperity for everybody. Okay. So democracy is a bedrock of development in many ways. Okay. So it is okay for people to worry about jobs. I think it's fair. They are doing the right thing. But somebody has to also point out that democracy is very important to create jobs of future. Look at what has happened in the past. Partly because of authoritarian regime, jobs have not been created. Partly because of lack of conversation with others, okay? The growth has been very different. It is lopsided. You know, it is top-down approach where very few people have become very rich and lots of people have remained poor. So it all depends on what kind of development. I wish there was a one simple way to look at it.
Yeah, but you know, we have questions coming in on our live stream. One of our members, Saurabh Vashish, who's a very regular watcher of our programs, he says democracy is first and foremost about bringing prosperity to every citizen.
I agree with Saurabh.
If there's institutional independence but the citizens are suffering, that idea of democracy is equally flawed.
Agree. I agree with that too, that institutional independence, people should not suffer. Institutional independence is for people to participate in the institutions. When you keep people out, things begin to appear different.
There's another question for you. Institutional independence, ? How can that be achieved by taxing the middle class and redistributing wealth? That's a failed Marxist ideology, as the gentleman himself suggested recently.
I think this business of, you know, left communism, Marxist, in hyper-connected world do not make sense to me.
What does that mean?
What it means is you can't look at world from the prism of the past. You got to look at world from the viewpoint of creating new wealth and hopefully try your best for equitable distribution. In other words, don't get hung up on growth numbers of 8%, 10%. What kind of growth? Ask that question. What does that growth mean to large number of people? Ask that question. And in the process, like you have to distribute free food, you may have to distribute free income to some people. That's part of social responsibility.
But what about taxing the middle class? The Indian middle class is the most taxed.
Yeah, but you know, if you look at the total income, you know, of the government, very little comes from the tax. Personal tax.
Yeah, but why do you want to tax the middle class? Why do you want to tax the middle class?
You don't. Maybe you don't. It's not a big issue. Maybe you don't tax middle class and you generate revenue some different way. Because if you look at the totality of the revenue, taxing middle class is a very small number. Okay, so we are debating something which is not worth debating, according to me. It's okay.
Okay, now you say that these differences between capitalism, communism, these have become irrelevant in a hyper-connected world. But your book actually asks the question, whether democracy can thrive in a capitalist society. Where has democracy thrived in communist societies? You know, you have McCarthyism of the United States of America. You have the Stalinist sort of control of Russia. You have China, which is totally anti-democratic. Please do show me a non-capitalist society where democracy has thrived.
First, you must recognize that now, first time in the human history, we are all connected. All 8 billion people are essentially connected. Never happened before. So the Stalin era, McCarthy era don't mean anything anymore.
China is non-democratic.
Coming to that. Okay. So now, in a hyper-connected world, the key is to empower every person. Key is to really bring in best in you. Give you freedom to move, freedom to speak, freedom to associate, freedom to practice religion, freedom to marry wherever you want to marry. That is the world I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to subscribe to that world. You can subscribe to a world where people are in prison and, what Hitler did, you think was the right thing to do. That's your privilege. I don't think that is right. Okay. So in a hyper-connected world, we need to create more humanist society which worries about people at the bottom of the economic pyramid, society that is not hung up on religion, because religion was okay in the past. Today religion has a different meaning. Okay, I got to be more transparent, more open, because I'm connected with all kinds of people from all over the world. I'm no longer living in a small little cocoon of my own where only people I associated with are the people I can feel and touch. So I think we are going through a major transformation world over.
But let's pick up this comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's pick up this comment that you made: need a society that's not hung up on religion, right? If you look at the United Kingdom, which otherwise is highly multicultural, Rishi Sunak is its prime minister, right, of Indian origin, highly multicultural society. But the Church of England The Church of England is sort of its moral, religious parent of that country, as it were, right? So it's a very Christian tradition at the religious level, but a multicultural polity and a multicultural society. The Americans, I mean, where you are today, it's a very, very, very diverse society, but there is everywhere a sort of overtone of Christianity. In India, and I'm just making an argument here that I want you to think about and respond to. In India, the argument is being made that in a country that is, of course, secular, of course, pluralistic, what is wrong in talking about religious identity? What is wrong in Hinduism being a dominant identity? I ask you this because your comments on the Ram Mandir got you into trouble. Your party had to disassociate itself from you.
It doesn't get me into trouble. I don't look at that as the way you look at it.
Okay. All right. How do you look at it?
It doesn't get me into trouble.
How do you look at it? What do you mean you don't care?
It is a personal opinion. I look at it as I'm entitled to my personal opinion. You have to agree. You don't have to disagree. It's your privilege. That doesn't tell me that I'm in trouble. How could I be in trouble for my personal opinion? Okay. I can't be in trouble for my personal opinion.
Okay, let's look at the issue. Forget trouble. So let's look at the issue.
So the main issue is, to me, religion is a personal thing. To me, religion should not be politicized, whether it is in America or in Germany or in England or in India. In every family, there are people with different ideas of religion. Some are more religious, some are less religious. My own wife is very religious, but I'm not. It's okay, I respect that. I think we need that diversity. Don't force me into religious conversation every time.
No,
I'm not,
absolutely.
I don't mean you.
Okay.
I mean, in a social, you know, setup, when you have a cup of coffee, okay, we can have conversation on something else. Okay.
Right.
And we can agree to disagree on religion, which is okay.
Okay. Can I ask you this? You know, firstly, another important comment, the US, in spite of its independent institutions, has regressed on abortion rights, trans rights, affirmative action, lacks gun laws. So, you know, you can have great free media, which the Americans do, but still not have progress on social equity, on human rights, not even in the West, which otherwise judges the rest of the world.
Which is fine. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago in New York. And he said, you know, Sam, the building I live in, most of the people are multimillionaires. But before I enter my building, I have 10 guys living on road on the same building. This is America. This is New York. Okay, shame. But that's the way it is. Okay, that doesn't say that America shouldn't speak on poverty. I mean, what kind of an idea is that? It's okay. We all have our challenges. America has challenges on lots of issues. Okay, why not? Okay. Mm. But this idea that you should give me advice and I shouldn't talk about this is all bogus. I can talk about whatever I feel like. That's my personal right.
That's correct.
And somebody said, why are you commenting on India? Why not?
Well, maybe because there has been an asymmetry of power historically, and post-colonial societies don't respond well to that.
No, but accept it and move on.
Okay, let's talk about the larger issue. You talk about democracy and institutions and individual rights and freedoms, and all of those are points that you make. But where is the balance between what you call populism? You do talk about populism and the rise of populism, and indeed democracy reflecting the will of the people. Now, I understand that good, powerful, deep democracies have to protect the individual, not just the mob. But the will of the people also has to find a voice. That is what electoral democracy is about.
Absolutely.
One, right? Two, this current debate around democracy is also seen as a clash between old elites and new elites. And you talk about new elites in your book. You might be called an old elite today with ideas that, you know, are antediluvian, are archaic, dunya badal gayi hai, the world has changed, India has changed. How would you respond?
First of all, I've been very much part of the world that is changing. So don't give me all that. Okay. I've lived through computers and software and I still file patents. I may look old, but my mind is as young as anybody. I just got a patent.
No, I'm not telling you.
I'm
not making an ageist comment at all.
No, yes. No, but I'm not commenting on your comment, but I'm saying people do these things, okay? So don't give me all that crap, okay, that I'm old timer and I'm old and all that. It's all bogus, okay? That means you're ignorant. Whosoever is telling me that. I just got a patent on January 10th. I'm filing a series of patents on AI. I know what's going on. Don't give me all that crap, okay? I come from very fundamental values, more Gandhian values. Those have not changed.
But Gandhi the Mahatma embraced religion as an instrument of mobilization.
Okay. I don't have to agree with everything on Mahatma, na?
No, you don't. No,
that's right. Why are you immediately complaining? Let Mahatma do his religion.
I was just making the point.
No, I understand. People make these kinds of points unnecessarily. Mm. I don't have to take everything good from anybody. I can take some good from here, some good from there. That's my job. That's my freedom. Okay? Let's go back to your original question. The real issue today is the character, values. We have lost fundamental values. Everybody is too selfish. World is focused on power and profit. Those who make a lot of money are worshipped. Those who have a lot of power are seen as the god. And we have lost concern for planet and people. That's why we are in a mess.
Okay. I have a question for you, a critical question this time. Prasad Duvuri says, Barkas, he meaning Sam, has to clarify this is vague. So it's this a little bit motherhood and apple pie.
No, it may be vague to you. It's not vague to me. Values are not vague to me. Character is not vague to me. Leadership is not vague to me.
But he follows up by saying you're oscillating between yourself as an individual and as a core Congress policy team member.
I'm talking about myself as an individual. It's not about oscillating. I'm not here. I didn't write a book as a Congress member. I wrote a book as a Sam Pitroda individual.
Okay.
So don't confuse it. You are confusing it. I'm not confusing it. Okay. I'm very clear.
It's election season. Everything you say is not going to be divorced from your party. You know that.
That's right? Okay. That's your privilege. Okay. But that doesn't stop me from saying what I need to say. Okay. Because I believe democracy has a lot to do with character and values of the leadership. All over the world, leaders have become too hungry, power hungry, profit hungry. They have formed a club with rich and famous. And in the process, people are suffering all over the world. We need to focus on planet and people and not on profit.
Can you come back to my question about the clash between the old elites and the new elites? Because globally, this is a political debate, globally.
Okay, now let's go back in the history. See, earlier, all societies were organized around king and queens and their coterie. Those were the elites. For hundreds of years, it went on. Alexander to Ashoka to, you know, Cleopatra to you name it. Then all of a sudden, in the last couple of hundred years, French Revolution threw kings and queens out. Tsars were murdered. British Raj was dismantled. And all of a sudden, societies had to be reorganized without kings and queens. And a new form of government set in. Through elections, we selected people. In the process, we have created new elite, which are power hungry, profit hungry, and there is a big club of politicians and businessmen hanging out together. World Economic Forum is a great example. And they rule the world, they think.
Wasn't that always the case? What's new about that, the nexus between politics and business?
No. There is a big difference. It wasn't like that in the beginning. When all the countries became independent, it was not like that. It happened over a period of time. So now, public is saying, wait a minute, I don't like these new elites also. I want to throw them out too. But they don't have an alternative. There is a vacuum. And that's why I believe there is a rise of populist movement. I believe that's what we are
looking for. But isn't one other reason, possibly, for the rise of populist leaders, the failure of progressives or the failure of old elites to talk a language that the mass relates to? So, for example, you have a book on the idea of democracy. You have a certain view, and that is your individual right. I'm all for free speech and free thought. But when you're in politics, when you're in the business of mass mobilization, you have to speak a language that appeals to a larger population. Otherwise, you can't be in public life. And in many ways, though you say you're here as an author and not speaking on behalf of your party, the Congress struggles with that today. What is its narrative to counter the BJP?
I don't think it is Congress only. All liberal
As an example. Go ahead, Sam.
No, you are saying as an example.
I'm just giving an example of the Congress in this context, but go ahead.
No, what is the example you are giving, though?
I'm saying the Congress as an example of how liberals struggle to find a counter to the rise of let's say, right-wing populists or center-right
populists. Same thing is happening in America. Same thing is happening in Turkey. Same thing is happening in Hungary. Same thing is happening in Mexico.
Yes.
So it's not just India. That's what I'm saying.
I agree. And I'm saying that is part of the problem, the failure of liberals to find the language that the larger number of people identify with.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it is a, you know, question of language. It's a question of results. Okay. People feel that world over, they have lost trust in the government. People feel that these new elites, whether they are Democrats or Republicans, whether they are this or that, they are all same. That's how people are feeling. So people are looking for a new way to solve their problems. I find that the new way to solve their problem lies in decentralization and not centralization. Everything needs to be decentralized. If India was to be restructured at district level, where every district collects their own taxes, every district has their own governance, 2 million people is a lot of people, they take care of their own education, their own health, people will find purpose in life, as opposed to waiting for Delhi in a centralized way to solve their education problem, their water problem, their energy problem. World over, because of now, hyperconnectivity, this is possible to decentralize. It was not possible earlier to decentralize the way you could do it today. And okay. I think that is going to be ultimately the solution. It may take 10 years. We may have to go through this phase. World over, we are going through this phase. And it is not about BJP versus Congress. It is not about Rahul versus Modi. I mean, we are just, you know, crazy if we think so.
So there's a question on...
It is about the idea.
So there's a global question. How do you then explain the rise of Trump, Erdogan, Modi?
But
he argues, the viewer argues, the old elites in each of these societies, Saurabh argues, the old elites in each of these societies failed to deliver. The old systems failed the people and the elected populists.
So that's what I'm saying. That may not be the solution. Let's try it out for a while. They are trying it for a decade. Okay, but I don't think that is a solution in the long run. So people will try it out, find out for themselves. In human history, 10, 15, 25 years of experiment on populist is not going to be a big deal. We'll find out in 25 years. Okay?
Okay.
And then the damage done may be too big. That's what people like me believe. But I may not be around then.
No, we hope you're around. But tell us this finally as we close this conversation. What is the one, how would you define democracy? How do you define democracy?
I would define democracy, one, by free and fair elections, where the vote I count is the vote I casted. That's item number one. Two, clear independence of institutions, judiciary, legislator, executive. Very clear separation of power. Three, thriving civil society at every level, in education, health, the women issue, you know, on democracy, think tanks where people are bubbling with ideas and arguing and discussing and debating, some right, some wrong. Four, free and fair media. And not personal attacks, not in windows, and not sort of criticism of this and that and all. Okay, it's okay for you to disagree with me. I respect you. We'll still remain friends. Okay. In addition, I would like free education, free health service. When I say free, for example, I got my master's in physics in India as a poor boy. Almost free. I can't do that today anymore. Okay? That's the contribution to my life from India. I didn't have to pay anything, almost. Okay. In a society where everybody lives with respect and dignity, that is democracy to me. With equal rights, no discrimination based on your caste, color, language, residence, religion, whatever. That is true democracy.
All right, Mr. Pitroda, the author of The Idea of Democracy. His new book is just out. As you can see in the comments, his comments are always generating a debate. Let me just, there's one comment coming in. In a totally decentralized nation, I was trying to take that actually. Yeah, in a totally decentralized nation, there will be too much disparity in services if the nation is not an upper middle income one. I was going to say thank you to you, but if you just want to answer that.
It will happen. Everything will begin with something. So there'll be inequality in the beginning, but we can work towards solving that challenge. Okay. There are always problems when you introduce new idea.
I was just going to, when I was closing, before that question came in, I was going to say that as we can see in the comment section, you've already set a comment section on fire. So I encourage everybody to engage with ideas, even those you don't agree with. That, I think, is also at the heart of democratic debate. So Sam Pitroda's book.
That's how we learn.
And we must agree to disagree when we don't agree. And that's absolutely fine. Mr. Pitroda's book, The Idea of Democracy, is just out. The debate continues. Sam Pitroda, thank you for talking to us and take care.
Thank you, Barka. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Namaskar and hello, everyone. Welcome to a ride through the heart and the soul of India. क्योंकि जब इलेक्शन सीजन आता है तो कौन जीता, कौन हारा, कौन आगे, कौन पीछे, ये बातचीत तो होती ही रहती है. बट इट्स ऑल्सो अ टाइम फॉर ट्रैवल एंड मीटिंग पीपल एंड गेटिंग टू नो योर ओन कंट्री बेटर. सो वेलकम टू द ढाबास ऑफ डेमोक्रेसी, वेयर एवरी बाइट टेल्स अ स्टोरी, वेयर एवरी कॉन्वर्सेशन विल स्पाइस अप योर डे. एक्सपीरियंस द मसाला, द फ्लेवर, द स्वाद ऑफ दिस इलेक्शन विद अस एज वी टेक a lovely, a unique road trip from the south to the north of India, traveling thousands of kilometers to bring you the flavor of this election.
इलेक्शन सर पर है, वोटर अपना मन बना रहे हैं. ऐसे में आपको चाहिए सही फैक्ट, सही ज्ञान, सही नॉलेज. इसी कड़ी में मोजो स्टोरी लेकर आ रहा है एक खास कार्यक्रम, बैलेट की बात. मैं हूं पॉलिटिकल रिसर्चर कार्तिकेय बत्रा और मैं चाहता हूं आपके दिन के केवल दो मिनट. कैंडिडेट्स, पार्टीज, अलायंसेस, इश्यूज, इन सब पर होगी बात और होगा रोज आपका एक छोटा सा पॉलिटिकल टेस्ट. स्पेशल प्राइजेस फॉर दोज हु आर द बेस्ट. तो बैलेट की बात, कट द नॉइज, सिर्फ सच और फैक्ट की वॉइस.